Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. On today's Dating with Jordan episode, we are talking all about communication, especially communication in a relationship. We are using a tool called the Relationship Board Meeting to help guide this conversation with a partner, and you can even do it individually to help communicate with yourself and develop kind of a relationship and really get clear on your own goals and desires. I am really excited for this episode and cannot wait for you to listen. Before we jump into today's episode, I want to talk to you about my special Get the Sex You Desire workbook. This workbook is jam-packed with all kinds of different ways to receive pleasure. There are so many different varieties of ways to receive pleasure that you may not have ever thought about. And this helps you get really clear on what you would like to explore, what you definitely don't want to explore, and maybe some things that you're open to exploring. I highly recommend taking a look at this Get Your Sex You Desire workbook and completing it with your partner if you have one, and taking a look at the two and seeing maybe some things you might want to try. It is super fun. You can find the Get the Sex You Desire workbook at desire.vaginasvulvasandvibrators.com. I hope you enjoy. On today's episode, we have my business coach joining us, Alexa Martinez. Alexa is a sex and relationship by design coach and sex coach business mentor. She is on a mission to reform sex education and sexuality expression across the globe. She is from the deep south of Louisiana, and if anybody knows how to bust through taboos regarding sex, it is her. She is known as That Sex Chick across social media and is the founder of That Sex Group, a New York Times featured community with love, sex, and relationships as the central focus. Alexa speaks and teaches internationally on these subjects. You can also find her podcast, That Sex Chick, on all podcast listening platforms. Her podcast is phenomenal, so I highly recommend checking that out. With all that being said, Alexa, would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Alexa Nicole Martinez, and if my very outlandish, beautiful, extravagant fiance were in the room right now, he would say her name is Alexa Nicole, soon to be Bowditch, which he likes to remind everyone everywhere we go when I introduce myself. So I'm recently engaged, getting married in October of 2021. Really excited about it. Putting roots down for the first time in a long time in my life, because a little bit of my backstory is that I spent about 6 years after college traveling the world on cruise ships. And I visited 79 different countries and really was able to get out of my small town, Louisiana, shell, which is where I'm from. Very Catholic upbringing, there's a certain way to do life and to be successful, especially as a young woman. And I decided to travel the world and experience the world instead of doing things the more traditional route. And in traveling, I was exposed to so much more of what's available in life and what's available around the world, belief systems, relationships, sex, and I had numerous moments of, there's no turning back. What I know now, what I see of the world and what I see in people, there's no turning back. And so traveling back home became a challenge. And I started really fighting the system. And that led me down a path of exploration, personal development, spirituality, saying goodbye to the Catholic Church, deciding to forge a path on my own. And through that process, I started writing on my first blog, which was called The Violet Butterfly. And on that blog, I would write about my escapades gallivanting around the world, especially when it came to sex and love. And I think my South Louisiana family wished that I did absolutely anything other than talk about and write about sex or my sex life or give any information. It was really interesting. I actually did a podcast with my mom, you know, on my show. And I said, Mom, do you remember the talk? And she said, what talk? I said, exactly. So talking about something that was never spoken about to me and then eventually making a brand and a business out of it. And so fast forward about 4.5 years later, we are here. I run a pretty large organically growing Facebook community, and I have since I got started. My blog shifted from the Violet Butterfly to That Sex Chick. And our company now has 4 people working for it. We are cranking out content and information, sex education for adults. We try to make it cool. We try to make it sexy. And we try to give people a safe place to land on the internet to really explore their desires. So, and I also work with that very extravagant ray of sunshine fiance I mentioned. He is our designated men's coach on the team as well. So it is a big old family affair, including our pit bull and our French bulldog.
Oh, yes. I love Little. Little is so cute. And I totally relate to your story about like the traveling and this non-traditional life that other people may look at and be like, well, why would you choose to do that? Why is that attractive to you? And a lot of people admire that lifestyle, but they don't understand how much work it really is and how hard it is. And I totally relate where I'm at this point where I don't really enjoy going back home anymore. And I'm ready, but I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm ready for something. So now you brought up your fiance, Jordan, and I really admire your relationship. You're pretty public about it on social media. And he's very involved in it, in everything. Communication is so key in relationships. And I know that that's something that I personally am really working on. What have you two done to help you communicate?
When we first got together, my default was something that I learned from my mom. Imagine that. I learned how to be with men based off of what I saw as a kid growing up. Now, what I saw as a kid growing up were my grandparents, who had been together, I think, since my grandmother was maybe 17, and all the way until my grandfather died. So they were together almost 50 years whenever he passed away. And so I saw them together, but I also saw them argue all the time. And so they were in this relationship, and it was basically because they had 4 kids and they were married, and that was just what you did. She was very much the traditional, this is what the woman of the house does. And he was very traditional, this is what the man of the house does. And my mom, who was the oldest of their kids, did things differently. So I got to see 2 very conflicting situations unfold as a kid. I was left with my grandparents a lot because my mom did the single mom thing. So my mom, that I mentioned, has been on my podcast and we talked about this. So it feels really good that she also has lost a little bit of the charge of me speaking publicly about the fact that she's been married 5 times. So I saw people in a relationship because just for the sake of the family and the kids, and because that was just what they did. And then I saw someone who was always seeking for what was better and landing and saying yes to something that wasn't quite right, even if she knew it. And then my sister did something very similar to my grandparents. Her and my brother-in-law have been together over 20 years. We are 13-year age difference. And her and my brother-in-law have been together since they were 16, 17 years old. So I saw all of these different conflicting things. And when it came to having my turn at love, I very much thought I was going to be following the footsteps of my mother. And it was going to be a revolving door. And it was always going to be a person that I was going to eventually go, this isn't working out. And I got to a point where I was straight up sick of it. I was sick of myself in it. And I would get into a relationship and then I would be at the beck and call of my partner, and my life would transform and mesh and merge into his life. And my friends would be his friends. My life, it was very codependent, but I also, my personality is very sharp and independent. But when I really look at it, I would merge and mesh with this other person and I would change who I was essentially, or I would put on the facade that I was something that I believed that they wanted, and I would hide who I really am. And that facade could only go so long. And then eventually I would boil over and resent the hell out of them, and it would cause a lot of tension. And eventually our relationship would end. And more often than not, I was the one that would leave, and they would be the one that was always trying to figure out, like, how do I figure out Alexa? And I got to a point where I was sick of it. I do not want to repeat this thing in my life that I saw my mom. Now, my mom eventually found a real, true, beautiful, long-lasting love which we spoke about on the show I mentioned. She found it at 50 and she's going to be 65 this year. So they've been together almost 15 years and that's her longest relationship. And they are so perfect for each other, but they found it, both of them married 5 times. So this is now the relationship I'm watching her actually communicate in. And so anyway, back to me, and back to my partner, I got to a point where I'm like, I'm just not going to do this way anymore. I can't, I'm fed up. And so I started journaling and I started writing about it. And I started a lot of introspection and doing a lot of personal work, which I know that you're familiar with too. And you've dove face first, you know, you've belly flopped into doing the work in air quotes as well. And I made some commitments to myself, how I want to feel in the relationship and things that I want to encourage myself to speak up around and speak up for, and parts of myself that I really truly want to own and not hide and shy away from. So when Jordan and I first got together, I made some promises and some commitments to myself and our relationship started and I was off to a great start. And then very quickly, I started doing exactly what I did in all of the other relationships. I lost who I was. I watched myself start to lose myself in the process, not speaking up, saying yes to things I didn't really want to do, not showcasing all the parts of my personality, trying to dim my light because he's supposed to be the one that is like the bright, shiny thing. And eventually we got to a point pretty early on, like, whoa, if we don't shift the patterns that are playing out, and both of us have it, you know, he has his individual ones that come from the stories that he saw growing up with, also with a single mom. And so we took that upon ourselves as a challenge. How do we do this differently? Because this is not going to work if we keep playing out the same patterns. And so one piece that you asked me about specifically that really helped us was to give us some structure around how we communicate and to check in every week. Now, sometimes we skip it and a lot of times I resist it, but we always come back to it. And we figured this out probably within the first year or so of our relationship. We meet once a week and we have a debrief, or I don't know if it's, we have a debrief from the last week and we look at the week ahead and we call it a relationship board meeting. I wish that there was a more effective and sexy way. No, I wish that there was a sexier way I could call it, because board meeting is the most effective, where we sit down and we ask each other, how did last week go? And did we hit the markers of what we know would be fulfilling? The overarching feel, how are you feeling right now? He asks me, where are you in your cycle? We talk about things like adventure, movement, connection, and it gives us this flow and the structure to be able to communicate what are the grievances and the resentments, because these little tiny resentments are seeds that plant, and then eventually that resentment turns into contempt, and then that relationship is doomed, essentially. If you read any of Esther Perel's stuff, that's, I think it's like the 4 C's or something like that, but there's contempt when that one's in the relationship. It's really difficult to come back from. And I feel like that's when those little tiny seeds of resentment are planted, and then there's no conversation about it. There's no like, oh, this, I felt this way when this happened, and now we can move on. Just now I've got it out of my system, now we can move on. So we create these very specific containers where we can let those things out and go, cool, want to be in love, ready to come back to love, want to air that shit out. Let's come back to love and let's talk about the week ahead. And like, I have some really close friends that very recently, we have a women's group. We meet every Thursday and the women, the ladies all get together and we have a chat about what's going on in our lives and our partnerships and all of that. And one of my friends was talking about how this thing in the middle of the week was just sprung up on her and she was mad all day. And there was a couple of us that went, wait, hang on. How did you not know that that thing was going to happen that week? And it was, oh, well, he says that he told me, and then we have a baby. And it was just like, hang on. Y'all get together on a Sunday before that week even starts and at least talk about it so that you can, as a team, create a plan of action for the shitstorm that is inevitable that comes with life. And also so that you can create the space to celebrate and rest and love each other. So this is really important. I'm having these connective conversations and putting some structure so that you can really pour your heart out, really come back to a foundational place of love and grow. Because otherwise, you're just bumping into shit together.
Absolutely. And so do you want to elaborate a little bit more on the relationship board meeting and kind of what that looks like and how you structure that?
Sure. So I've been asked this question so many times that Bryn is the other person on our team who is very techie and can whip up a PDF resource or a worksheet in a matter of a snap of a finger, it feels like. So I talked about this so frequently at one stage in our business that she wound up making a play-by-play PDF for, and it's free. And it's just a relationship board meeting and asks you questions in the beginning. So it gives you kind of a framework for how to even have it. Because otherwise, if it's like, okay, well, we're going to sit down and have our board meeting and it's, well, what were you mad about last week? What did you like about last week? You know, it might be kind of awkward, especially if you've been in a relationship with someone for a long time and you've never sat down and brought a lot of intention into a conversation and into your relationship. It can be very challenging. And what I find for what happens in a lot of couples is he wants to know, like, how do I win? Like, I just want to know what's going on with you. And a lot of times women feel like they are this complicated, complex creature, and that, use air quotes, the crazy comes, and it's hard for them to communicate what they want and what they're feeling. And there's just this confusion present. Someone doesn't know how to talk about what's going on inside of them. And then the other person has no idea. They're just trying to figure it out. And so going into a conversation like that, where one just wants the other party to make logical sense, masculine, we're talking very heteronormatively here, of course. And then the other person is like, if he asks me what I want or what's going on with me, I'd rather swallow cotton balls. Like, it's just can't do it. So if you have a little bit of a framework, talk about this thing first, then this thing first, then nobody has the responsibility placed upon them solely to make something happen for that conversation. It's, this is the first thing we do. I didn't choose it. The paper says it. So I don't have responsibility. The paper says do it this way. The first part is basically a quick check-in. I believe we, on that particular worksheet, we have choose, how are you feeling right now? Red, yellow, green. We keep it real simple. Red, yellow, green. And if you want to go into why. So right now I'm coming into this, let's say this relationship board meeting, and I'm at a yellow. So if I say yellow, then why is it not red and why is it not green? Real quick. I'm not having a terrible time, but I did not get my exercise in this morning. And so I'm feeling frazzled, but I had a generally speaking good day. So I didn't move my body. I didn't have this commitment. I didn't go forward with this commitment that I made to myself, getting some yoga in or something like that. And that's just a tiny example. You might create some space to talk about resentments and appreciations. So last week I appreciated you, talking about the partner. I appreciated you for X, Y, and Z. I have some resentments, and that is a charged word, resentment. And there's a reason why you use it, because what you're feeling is that powerful inside of your body, and language is really powerful. And so if you use, I had some resentment building around this subject when this happened, and you take ownership in all of this language, there's reminders to take ownership, meaning it's, when you did this, you made me feel. So if you have those, that in your language and you're listening to this now, here's my message to you. Cut that shit out, because you're passing responsibility onto your partner and you're not owning your feelings and your experiences. So if your partner does a thing that you really don't like, it's, when you do this thing, I feel this way. Not, you made me feel. Your partner can't make you feel anything, because what's going on, your experience is the story that you give it, you individually. And so, yeah, you really may not like that thing. You know, when you put your clothes all over the place, I am frustrated. Not, you make me so frustrated. I am frustrated. So there's just examples in the relationship board meeting. There's lots of little language upgrades. So another little language upgrade for you in the board meeting, and then also in life in general, is if I'm expressing some resentment and it's like, yeah, you did this way. I felt ... and you should never do that again. Well, my relationship coach says that under every should is shame. And I don't think any couple really wants to invite the shame monster into their relationship, because that's just not cool. And also, coulds are different. It's like a cousin. Could is a cousin to shame as well. So all words that you can practice in relationship board meetings, not using. That way, whenever you go into your day-to-day life, you can have those reminders of, oh, I'm going to course correct myself from saying should. I'm going to course correct myself from saying you make me this way or that way. I'm going to course correct with, well, you could have done that. So you get a lot of practice into how to make communication just overall better. And then comes the fun part where you go, okay, well, how do we want to have a really awesome week together? I love you. You love me. Let's make this work because we're adults. Let's take responsibility for the fact that we want to have an awesome week together. And I have a really crazy Tuesday and a really crazy Thursday every week. So how do I help you support me? Because I don't think that any people are in relationship, you know, I don't think that they actively go in and seek relationship so that they can fuck up somebody else's life, which, so I don't think anybody goes into a relationship like, oh, you, I choose you. Let's be in partnership so I can fuck your world up. Right? It's like, I choose you to be in partnership and it's way easier if we are flowing. It doesn't mean don't feel bad things, air quotes again around bad. Don't feel negative emotions or low vibrational stuff. Don't feel the other half of the human experience. That's not the end goal. The goal is I'm with you through all of that. And so how do we win? How do we win? So what are the components to winning for Jordan and I? He gets to pull me out of my shell a lot because I am a hermit. I could stay inside. I could stay inside. I could see no people in real life. And I could be with my dog. I actually don't even need to be with my dog. I can be with a book. I can be with my computer. I can write. I'm very much a homebody. And he is the exact opposite. Like if he's inside for too long, he goes stir crazy. He wants fresh air. He wants sunshine. He could be with a new person every hour until sundown beyond. He just loves people. And so we get to meet each other in the middle and say, what's our social life going to be like this week? And let's not overcommit, which is a challenge for us. Because I will just keep going and keep going. And then I get to a threshold and I'm like, I hate that we're driving to this place right now. And I just need to say it. And I'm going to love it. And it's going to be great. And I'm going to have so much fun, but I'm spent. I have $0 left in my social bank. So we get to talk about that. How can he get super fulfilled in his social week? And how can I go, oh, I'd like to do two or three things and then leave me be. What is also important to us is getting movement in, going for a walk with the dogs, hitting a yoga class at least once a week. We have community workouts with our friends at one of our friends' houses each week. So how do we plan our weeks and encourage each other to plan our weeks to where we can make it to those things? And we don't let a week go by and go, yeah, well, I could have done that. And so we're avoiding the coulds. We're trying. We're doing our best. So that's a piece too. We also schedule sex because we love each other and we have busy schedules and busy lives. And we also really love spontaneous sex. And we have learned that if we put all of the pressure on spontaneous sex, we wind up not having sex as much as we would like to. And so we plan for very ritualistic, very intentional experiences every week. And every time we plan for sex, regular old spontaneous sex is more likely to happen for us. It's just the way that it works for us. Might not be that way for other people. Some people might hear schedule sex and go, oh my gosh, their relationship, it's going down the drain. That's fine. You can think that all you want. And it works for us. It does. So we talk about that and we talk about general adventure. How can we infuse adventure into what we're doing and try something new, learn something new? And then every week we try to schedule where is time for him to be with only men and where is time for me to be with only females in my community. That way we're not relying on each other to be each other's therapist. I don't want to tell him everything. He certainly doesn't want to hear everything that I can just chat and chat and chat. And there are some things that it's better if he talks to his guys about it instead of bringing it to me. Process it there first, then come back. So there was the whole mostly play-by-play. Then by the end of the board meeting, we have a closing. It's like, okay, you good? We're good. And then we might have a prompt or two that closes out the container. So we want a clear start and then we want a clear end. And then hopefully there's like some intimacy after that. We've got some time to like hug, cuddle, kiss, watch a show, whatever our form of intimacy is, sex.
I love that. And I can see how beneficial that would be for me, because I am very similar to you in that I keep doing these same patterns, not setting up the relationship for success. I'm a runner, and being able to communicate with my partner, hey, this is what's coming up for me, this is what's going on, would be really helpful. One of my current like affirmations that I'm using is be uncomfortable now so that I'm not resentful later, to help me communicate more. And it may not feel really great saying something, but at the end of the day, like, I will be resentful if I don't bring it up.
Absolutely. The discomfort will be very intense and it will be fleeting, or the discomfort will be not as intense, but mild to moderate, and there's no end in sight.
Yep. And if you're not communicating that and bringing it up, partners, they're not mind readers. They don't know what's going on inside of there, and they can't help you be more comfortable, be more whatever, if you're not talking about it.
100%. And I think if you're not having the conversation with yourself, if you, whoever you is, individually asking yourself those questions, the questions that are the hardest, you know, even something as simple as what do you want? What do you want in sex? What do you want in your life? What do you want your day-to-day to feel like, look like, you know, and it's just like, oh, I can't. Well, that's something for you to sit with. Sit with that so that you can come up with something to say.
Do you feel like using the relationship board meeting is helpful for somebody to do even as a single or as an individual?
Yeah, it's one of those exercises that's going to have your values become very clear and priorities. So there's an exercise that it's been such a long time since I've run certain kinds of programs with, you know, people who are dating or people who are just different categories of people. And this reminds me of an exercise that's very simple, deal makers and deal breakers. But if you look at your life and let's say you do something like the relationship board meeting as a single, and you can see, oh, if someone is totally out of balance with all of this, well, then that's a deal breaker. So even though Jordan and I couldn't be more opposite in a lot of ways, we're both down. So even though I'm the homebody of the two of us, I'm down. I will dress the part. I will look the part. I love the social time when I'm ready for social time and I'm opting in for social time. So I'm a Leo and I'm very like, I like sparkly things and I like to be the center of attention, but I'm also on human design. I'm a 6'2". So one of those numbers means role model and then the other number means hermit. So I very much resonate with both of those numbers. So I'll go and I'll be the, you know, out in the spotlight and do the thing. And then I'm like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to watch an entire season of a show on Netflix. And I don't care if I move. It's just, and Jordan's like, ugh, one episode. No, he meets me there. He'll meet me there and he'll binge with me every now and then. And we have a lot of fun doing it. And so we do have a lot of balance, but we're both down. Like I am down. He is worth paying the admission to ride his ride. And that's a bit of an adaptation from I believe a Dan Savage quote, but I'm opting in. I'm rounding him up to the one because I don't believe that anyone's going to fit your exact bill. So he might be like, I don't know, a 94.67 in my book or something like that. But I'm going to round that sucker up to one. So he is my one, which means he's worth riding the ride. I'm paying my admission. I'm on, I'm strapped in. Let's do this thing. And him vice versa with me too. So there's never like this, I just so wish you were different. It's like, oh, I opted in for this. Cool. You're a little moody. You're a little this. You're a little hermity. You're a little witchy, you know? And I'm like, oh, I opted in for this. You're a ray of fucking sunshine. You love everyone. Your aura is wide ass open. And so I believe the way that we look at our relationship is together, we each get to experience the totality of what's available in the human experience. Some things for him are just straight up way more natural. And watching him, like watching him enjoy food and watching him enjoy being in a social experience, I have chosen, and it happens naturally, but he radiates. And I am not like that. So instead, I indulge in what I'm seeing and witnessing instead of, oh my gosh, he's so different. I'm so embarrassed by how he does things different to me. A little extra.
I love that. You guys have such a cute relationship. It's awesome that you've developed and worked really hard to create. Who's your relationship coach?
Her name is Annie Lala. And she calls herself a heart cartographer. She understands the map of the heart.
How did you find her?
So we have a very close community here in Austin, which has transformed my individual, like me personally, and it has also transformed our relationship as well. We're surrounded by couples who are all in, starting families. And not saying that all people who start families are the in people, but very intentionally so, very intentionally crafting community. It has by far been like one of the biggest things that has come into my life and changed my life. So like when we work with people, we work with clients, every first portion of a program with all of us is evaluating your community because so many people are starving for community. And so many people, like I mentioned, Jordan goes with the guys and I go with the girls at some point every week. So many people are in relationships where they rely on their partner to literally be everything and help them process all the shit that comes up, just humaning from day to day. And so not having that pressure on my partner has just, for both of us, has just changed things so much. And so I bring that up because there's four couples out of our six couple group, us, Nadee, Austin. Yeah, there's four of us that all work with her, but we have one couple that introduced us at first and she stumbled upon Annie like accidentally. And it was, she runs a business and she thought that she was getting on a call with this person and it had something to do with her business. And it was not that. And it wound up being Annie Lala. And then they had this, the story goes, and I'm paraphrasing here, a story that is not mine, but my friend Adi, and she said, you know, so we just started talking and she started asking me about my relationship and her now husband had just gotten together for a few months and she was like, oh, my relationship is amazing. And then Annie just did her like brain emotional little surgery. I don't know how else to describe it. She's very poetic and an absolute G at like pulling people's deeper things out, but in such a beautiful, poignant way. And so they worked with her from like 3 or 4 months into their relationship. And they were like, fuck it, let's hire her. Let's just hire her to make sure that we set up our relationship in a really beautiful way. And so she's been in their lives for a long time. And so just over the course of the last few years, our friends getting close, us talking about what we've learned. And Annie Lala, yes, she's amazing. Her and her partner, Evan Pagan, they do programs and things together. Some people might remember Evan's name. He was at one stage a pretty famous pickup artist. David D'Angelo, I believe, was his like street name. And so anyway, they're married and they have a little girl named Love. And she's been to Burning Man since she was, I think Annie was pregnant. Like she's been every year and she's one of those cool, very well-adjusted kids. So anyway, and I think she's maybe 7 or 8 now. And we've all traded her information around. It's like, oh, you're going through a challenging thing. Or somebody will go, oh, I had a call with Annie and this is what came up for me. And this is what I'm now considering. And so then the next person will go, I'm going to have a call with her too, you know? So kind of incestuous coach relationship with all of us. But yeah, she is amazing. And there's so many people who can do that in the world. And so just saying like, if y'all are interested and want to reach out to her, awesome. She's running programs all the time. And also having anyone in your life to be that position for you, whether that's a therapist, a counselor, a coach, someone that you do their programs. I know you run programs now, Jordan. So it's like, have someone that holds you accountable to your highest. And when it comes to your intimacy, we're not taught how to do this. We straight up aren't. I'm still not using the Pythagorean theorem. Still, I am still not using so much bullshit I learned in school. What I am having to teach myself over and over and over again is stuff to do with money, stuff to do with sex, and stuff to do with how to make a relationship work, because those are the things that are literally ruling my life. So we get to, as adults, go, well, that is an archaic system that did that served me in its own unique ways. And as this adult, I get to take responsibility. And if I want to have a certain kind of life, that means I got to show the fuck up for it. Otherwise, you're just going to get what you get.
Exactly. I'm going to have to find her. I'm kind of, well, you know this, I'm sort of looking for a relationship coach at some point after my business coaching ends, because I think that it's so helpful to have somebody help you figure out what to work on, help you work through all these things, because there's so much, like, I don't even know where to begin. It's all overwhelming. In my Dating with Jordan series, something that keeps coming up is intentions, a lot about setting intentions with a relationship. And that keeps coming up in this conversation, which I just think is so interesting, but it's so important to go into a relationship with a game plan, with an idea of where you want to take it to have the best outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to put the intention in there. Otherwise, exactly what I just said, you're going to get what you're going to get. And if you don't give it some consideration, while also understanding that, like, life is going to unfold the way life's going to unfold, you're not going to have someone that checks every single box. So hold that intention and also stand your ground for the things that really are deal breakers. Stand your ground and have some flexibility. Like, understand what you do have flexibility with. And so Jordan and I, and these are very easy, very generic examples. So before I met Jordan, when I was still living on cruise ships and I was dating on ships, the two longer relationships, long-ish, there was one that was almost 4 years and one that was about a year, relationships that I was in right before I left ships, both of them were smokers. And I was miserable because I am not. And not just because people who smoke are bad or are this or whatever. It was what came with their life, I was affected by it. So I would be left in a restaurant, like waiting sometimes, or not even just at a restaurant, like let's go to ships specifically. What actually happens in my life was there was a portion of the ships when I lived on ships that was the smoking section. And it was like a hot box of cigarette. Like, I don't smoke. So I'm not comfortable or used to smelling that all the time and breathing in that. And so we would get off of work and there would be drinks and they would have cigarette. And then all of my team members and everybody would go into this room. And I would, if I wanted any social time, I'd have to go in there and all of my clothes would smell like it. And it would just be this thing where the more that they drank, the more that they wanted to stay inside of this room. And then I would get frustrated and I would leave. And so that was one example of, like, my life is always affected, or we're outside, or we're every time we exit a building, cigarette has to happen. Or every time we're getting ready to enter a building, I'm just going to stay out for a few more minutes. So I got to a point where I'm like, I don't like all of the ritual and the habit that comes with this. Like, it's not my habit. So me coming to terms with that, because at first I was like, well, but if they're amazing and they're a smoker, then I can manage and I can put up with it. And then eventually I got to a point where I'm like, no more, no more of this. This is on the deal breaker. I don't like how my life is affected by this. Let me just write that right now on this little list. So if you take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, here's the deal breakers. Another deal breaker was, has done zero personal development and doesn't understand the very basics of nonviolent communication, has never heard of the love languages, doesn't know what the importance of sexual personal development. Like, if I start speaking in a certain way and I have to explain it, deal breaker. If you know, like, there's certain things that I put on there and I go, cool, these are the things that as soon as a person presents it, I get to make a decision. I go, do I keep this conversation going for another minute? That's a decision to make. Or if they're like mostly deal makers, what's a deal maker? They are physically active. They live in my location. They are, well, this would be deal breaker and deal maker, because this was also a conversation I had to have with myself. Like, I'm approaching 30. I'm going to be 33 this year, but like when I was starting to date again, kids, do they have kids? Am I okay with another, you know, getting into a relationship with someone who also has kids? Then those kids have a mom. So I'm also getting into a relationship with that person too. And am I opting in for that? And I got to, that was a very challenging conversation to have with myself. I go, no, I don't want that. And that's okay. That does that mean that people who have kids and have a baby mama, even if they have a great relationship, does that mean that they're bad people? No, it means I get one chance at this life and I don't want that. So I'm going to say no, but I have lots of friends that they don't care. That's not a deal maker. The more kids, the merrier, the better. They literally don't care, but I do. So how about I honor what does matter to me in this moment, instead of trying to go, oh, I can be friends and it will be great and I'll be great stepmom and whatever. So just examples of the deal maker and deal breaker. And then also those deep intentions, like, what am I trying to do here?
Yeah. In April, I have a Dating with Jordan series with the relationship coaches coming out, and they talk about four different lists that you should make to help you be a little bit more clear on what you want when you do meet somebody. Because a lot of times when you meet somebody, it's easy to be like, oh, look, shiny, let's explore this. And you kind of forget what your deal makers and deal breakers are. And I'm with you with the smoking, like that for me. What you're bringing up is so interesting, because smoking for me was definitely a deal breaker. But then I didn't even think about like when they would need a smoke break, when you go somewhere and it's smoking only side, like that never even crossed my mind. So interesting. Well, this has been a wonderful episode. I appreciate you taking some time out to talk with me today. I want to know, if there's one thing the listeners take away from our conversation, what would you want that to be?
The big theme for my team and I that we are repetitively saying, and so I'll just share it here too, is your pleasure, whether that's in your sex life or in your relationship, your life at large, is your responsibility. And responsibility is one of those heavy words that it's like, ugh, like I got to do something about it. Yes, you do. If you want epic sex, if you want a deeply fulfilling, satiating, communicative, expressed relationship, it's up to you. It is your responsibility. So that's an invitation to take ownership of the life that you want and the life you deserve. And only you understand the life that you want and what you feel you deserve, and so much more. There's so much more available. Anything that you think that you could want or feel that you could want in your life, there's so much more beyond that that is available. And it takes doing work and doing the work, just the emotional labor of processing traumas and working on yourself and personal development and all of that. It's not all that glamorous. It does feel exalting at times. This is speaking from personal experience. It does feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that I'm not shackled by this way of thinking or that way of thinking or whatever comes up. But it doesn't necessarily mean that your life just at large gets easier. It doesn't. So I'm just going to throw that out there though. If you want the extremes of pleasure and sexiness, just an overall great life, it doesn't mean that humaning stops and your life is just, you know, developed into an opportunity for you to be a bliss bunny. But the totality and the intention that the totality of your relationship, the intention that you bring to it, your life experience gets to be different, gets to feel more aligned and more fulfilling to you and unique to you. And a life that I believe that you're going to have a lot of experiences that you look back towards the end and go, yeah, I did that. I showed up for myself. I fucking did that. Instead of looking back going, I regret all these things that I never gave myself permission to do. So your pleasure, your responsibility.
I love that. Got to take ownership for your pleasure. So where can the listeners find you at?
Instagram. Come find me on Instagram. It's the easiest way. That sex chick, there's so much stuff for you to play around with. Shoot me a DM. I do Ask Me Anythings. Every so often, there's always new content. We've got new podcasts coming out. Every week, there's something for you to chew on mentally that will probe around in your mind. Because if you don't know what questions to ask yourself, don't worry, we'll ask them. So just find me there. And then we can go from there. There's so many other places to connect with community, but that's definitely a great place to start.
Love it. And where can they find your relationship board meeting at?
On my Instagram. There's if you go to the link in my bio, there is a tab that or a button that you can click that says free downloads and resources, it's there. So you can download a want, will, won't list. You can download the relationship board meeting. I have a little sex magic mini course available with a cool playlist. So there's all kinds of goodies there and they're all accessible through my Instagram.
I need to go check out the sex magic one. I don't think I've seen that yet.
It's a good one.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome, Jordan. Thank you for having me.
This episode is sponsored by Pure Romance by Jordan Jones, offering top bath and beauty products and relationship enhancement items. Check out the link in the bio to start shopping today. By shopping, you are supporting this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.